Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 27th, 1997.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning across all these many prolific time zones. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to Santa Country and the poles, and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning, I'm Art Bell. We're going to venture into the world of reverse speech this morning with David John Oates. And we will get to, after a quick review of some NASA reversals, including some new ones you did not hear last time, we'll get to Colonel Haynes. Colonel John Haynes. The Air Force Colonel who gave us what I think is the press conference of the year, explaining the Roswell incident. I wonder if any of the reversals have anything to do with time compression. We'll find out. Anyway, David Oates with us this evening for a period of time, and then no doubt some open lines ahead. And that's kind of what we've got. We'll play it fast and loose. Oh, by the way, want to welcome a brand new affiliate? It would be KGNB AM New Braunfels, Texas. Boy, I hope I'm doing that right. New Braunfels, Texas is what it looks like. They're 1420. Minor but important differences. 1420 on the dial, 1,000 watts of raging Texas power. And so, welcome to the network, welcome to the program. Glad to add yet another Texas station to the network. All right, David Oates. Really, let's see, what can I say about David? David, I would guess, rose from relative obscurity about, we'll ask David, I think it was about a year ago. I guess our relationship has been going on for about a year. And David has himself a speech impediment. He stutters a little bit. And that more or less led him into a study, naturally, as you can imagine, of language. And in the course of that study of language, he stumbled on a very, very interesting phenomenon called reverse speech. Reverse speech would appear, and I am becoming more convinced the more I listen, would appear to reveal what a person is really thinking when you play, and now this is a very important part, when you play what they have said forward at the precise same speed in reverse. The problem for the person being reversed is that it reveals their honest thinking, whether they like it or not. And the more emotional they are, the more unguarded they are, the greater the revelations. It's kind of like a truth detector. Now, we have had a lot of conversations about the validity of reverse speech. And what I want to tell you about is, as I have listened to reverse speech again and again and again, I have become convinced of its validity because of its consistency. In other words, you do not get reversals that are not, to use David's good word, congruent. You get consistently reversals that are congruent, whether they reveal the person to be telling the truth or a lie or simply not knowledgeable on the subject. They are always congruent with the subject being discussed in a forward direction. So I have come personally to become more and more of a believer in the valid nature of reverse speech. Now, a lot of you will have seen the incredible news conference by the Air Force. Poor Colonel Haynes sent out there to do his duty for his country and try and tell us about compressed time and the fact that 1947 just wasn't what we think it was, and Roswell, you know, a crashed disk, alien bodies, and all the rest of it. But then, in fact, we all suffered time compression, the colonel's phrase, and that all of this really occurred in the 50s, and even as late as 1960. All of it didn't go down very well, frankly, with the public. So it's going to be interesting to see the reversals. That will be coming up in just a moment. With reference to last night's program, I want to let everybody know that the photographs documenting what was said last night about the pyramids, and basically in the end, after much preliminary discussion, it was revealed that there is a secret dig going on in the pyramid from the king's chamber down to the queen's chamber to gain secret access into a room that is otherwise barred, and that this dig could only be going on with the permission of Zahi Hawass, who had some sort of confrontation, apparently, with the Egyptian authorities yesterday. Well, actually, today. Now, we don't have news of the result of that yet, but what we do have is the photographs in question. We await Richard Hoagland's captioning of the photographs so we understand exactly what we're seeing. But what we appear to be seeing, clearly, in one case, is a security camera turned to the wall instead of where it should be looking during a period of time that a dig is going on that should not be going on. And we actually have a photograph of what appears to be that tunnel. It is quite a remarkable sight. All of that now is up on my website. So go take a look. It's at www.artbell.com. That's www.artbell.com. And as soon as we get a rendition of the precise explanation of the photographs, you will have it. All that in mind, coming up in a moment, David Oates.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What's going on around this planet right now are people who are just fed up. They're fed up with dictatorships, and they've had enough. Now, the big question is, can it happen here? And I think absolutely. One day, if we continue to have this spread of the haves and the have-nots, this continuing push for a new world order, it could happen. Mark my word, it could happen here too. Let's hope not.
Now, let's go back to the night of June 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right. The NASA gentlemen, representatives that were on my program, we're on for several hours. We asked them many, many pointed questions about things we wanted to know about with respect to NASA. What Colonel Haynes said, interestingly, winds into a lot of what NASA said. So as a setup, we're going to do in a moment some of the NASA reversals as kind of a setup to what's coming with Colonel Haynes. But first, let me introduce you to Mr. Reverse Speech, David Oates. David, welcome.
Thank you.
David, how long has our relationship been going on? Do you remember how long ago you first came on the program?
I think it was the end of July was the first broadcast, if I remember correctly. So it's been almost a year.
Almost a year. I thought so.
Almost a year.
Uh-huh. In that time, I really have come to, I guess, become a believer. At first, a skeptic, but as time has gone on, more and more a believer.
Well, you know, once you look at all the evidence and hear the reversals and look at the direct relationship they have to the forward dialogue, their grammatical contents and linguistic structure, when you add all that up, it just really becomes obvious that you're onto something. I mean, you just look at the mathematical odds of it occurring by pure chance, and I mean, I don't know what they would be, but they would be incalculable, I would imagine.
I'm sure they would. Just before the program, we talked about something very interesting, and it brings up a question I want to ask you about reverse speech. Now, when I'm on the air, obviously there are seven deadly words that you really can't use on the radio, or if you do, they're at your own peril.
Right.
And bull blank, 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 is one of those.
Correct.
All right? Now, when I'm not on the air, I will admit freely that I use language like that occasionally. Not all the time, and I think that people who use bad language all the time do so because they have a deficiency with regard to other words they might substitute that would have just as much impact. But I like other people. I use that kind of language occasionally. And so I'm naturally curious, particularly when somebody is emotional.
Right.
Do you frequently get a lot of that kind of language in reverse?
Well, once again, it varies from person to person. Yeah, that language is reasonably common. Some people will use it a lot more than others. A person who tends to use it once will use it over and over again. and then other people, you won't find it at all. It really varies from person to person. And each person in reverse speech has their own unique language that they use. You know, you can actually, there's been times in my office, for example, where particularly after the fire, some of our files got completely scattered all over the place, and I would actually pull off some of the transcripts from the floor. They weren't labeled, and I could read down the reversals and tell you who that person was by the language structure that they were using.
Now, would it be true that if a person occasionally uses invective forward, that it would turn up in reverse, or would you find in a person who never in a forward way would use such a language, who in reverse does?
The latter tends to be more true than the former.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. It depends on the person. See, a lot of people put on this false front of niceties and sweetness, and they control their language very carefully.
A facade.
Correct. And underneath that, there's a volcano brewing, ready to explode. And you'll hear it in the tone of their voice forward. You'll hear this subtle edge, you know, and you'll see it in their body language. They'll stiffen up, or their skin color will change, and then it's also reflected in the reverse speech. But it's very difficult to really give a blanket across the board opinion. Reverse speech is like forward speech. It varies from person to person and personality to personality and so forth. And, people who are real, what Australians would call troopers, who use a lot of that language forwards, would tend to have it in reverse, but it's it's hard to draw an across-the-board
Well, the reason I ask is because, you know, so much, we've done so much on the air,
right.
And that's one aspect that we really can't do on the air, so I really have never known how much of that you run into.
Oh, right. Well, is this the same amount as I'll run across nice stuff? Well, you know what? Actually, there is one word that appears over and over again, and that's the classic four-letter word that we all know very well, and that one word occurs constantly, quite frankly.
Well, we can do it this way. You can say the S word, the F word.
The F word is very common.
Very common.
Extremely common. The S word is not so common. The bull blank 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 word that
right.
I asked you about
right.
rarely occurs. I've rarely heard that. And of course, and it appeared on the Colonel Haynes, which, but that's fairly rare. But the F word is exceptionally common.
Very common.
Very common. Yeah.
And that of course would clearly prevent reversals from becoming particularly public, at least in a broadcast medium or a.
Yeah, you know, one of the most amusing reversals I have got that I just would, I'm dying to play it on the air. I don't get into music or songs very often, but Popeye the Sailor Man, the theme song of Popeye the Sailor Man, when you run that in reverse, it says extremely clearly, give me an F. Give me an F now.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Oh, I am serious. It is so clear. It's actually, people can go to my website and download it and listen to it. In point of fact, the whole song backwards is a sexual innuendo towards olive oil. And
is it really?
Oh, it really is. It's I found that one back in, I must have found that back in the early 80s, 84, 85, when I was doing music. I began in music, as you know, and then I moved on to speech fairly quickly. And I remember finding that and just being absolutely floored.
Well, it's the one aspect of reverse speech that I have neglected to ask you about because I couldn't really deal with it in broadcast other than the way you and I have just dealt with it.
Right.
That's very interesting.
Right. Yeah, please go to my website and download Popeye the Sailor Man, and you'll hear a classic example of it.
All right, and we can reach that. You folks can reach it by, I'm sure, going to my website. And we've got a link, of course, to David Oates' reverse speech website. So if you have me bookmarked, go there and jump over. Otherwise, David, your website is www.reversespeech.com.
Reverse speech in one word, all lowercase.
Are you getting a lot of traffic on that website now?
Yeah, we've actually had the 30,000 hits in the last couple of weeks, so that's pretty good. That was actually since my broadcast with you last time. The traffic increased very substantially.
So in other words, folks, the ones that we cannot play on the air for you here, you will indeed hear there.
Oh, most definitely. I've got hundreds of reversals on the website. It's in real audio format, and you can just click on the icons and listen to them. There's some great ones on Clinton using the classic four-letter words.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Clinton using that kind of language? Well, you know...
Horror of horrors.
Horror of horrors. I'm not surprised, nor actually am I even shocked.
Right.
Is Bill Clinton one of the more congruent or incongruent people that you have ever...
Bill Clinton is... the best way I can describe Bill Clinton is a split personality. He has these two completely different sides to him. There is one side of Bill Clinton that's extremely compassionate and caring for the country. He has these... this side of his has intense religious reversals. He seems to be genuine in his religious beliefs when he's in this mode, and he has some wonderful, eloquent reversals. And then he'll switch, and there's this other side of Bill Clinton that scares the living daylights out of me. And boy, how can I explain this?
Not directly.
He's vicious, quite frankly. Vicious. I wouldn't want a crossing.
Look, I think that's true of anybody who becomes president. And I really mean that. Just about anybody. You do not get to become president without a very vicious political and political and vicious go together side to
right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole disturbing thing in Clinton's reversals and not just Clinton, the whole political scene about one of the themes I really would like to understand is who is controlling Clinton and the politicians. They talk about people above them constantly.
I'd love to hear reversals. Have you ever gone back and done reversals on Richard Nixon during the Watergate era?
I have done none on Nixon there at all.
Oh, that would be very interesting, because there was a big period where he was telling great big bold ones, you know. Anyway, all right, stand by. We'll get right back to you, and then we'll get down to business.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 27th, 1997. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 27th, 1997.
I'm getting a lot of information concerning the Caribbean. It looks like there may be a volcano erupting now in the Caribbean. If that is so, I would like confirmation of it. And so, let me do this as we begin the venture into the world of reverse speech. If you're in the Caribbean right now, St. Thomas, somewhere, surely you have information for us about the state of the volcano. So, let me hold two lines open for people in the Caribbean while we begin to enter this very unusual world of reverse speech. One is our first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. And the other would be the east, way east of the Rockies line, at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. What about it, folks? Volcanic action beginning in the Caribbean.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What's going on around this planet right now are people who are just fed up. They're fed up with dictatorships, and they've had enough. Now, the big question is, can it happen here? And I think absolutely. One day, if we continue to have this spread of the haves and the have-nots, this continuing push for a new world order, it could happen. Mark my word, it could happen here too. Let's hope not.
Now, let's go back to the night of June 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, now, back to David Oates and the world of reverse speech. David?
Yes, sir.
All right, why don't we give them an example of reverse speech. And as a matter of fact, the early examples don't even have to be NASA. They can be just a couple of classics, because inevitably I have new affiliates. We're gaining them at a rate that is not to be believed, and there are going to be some people out there who have never in their life heard reverse speech.
Okay.
So, a little primer.
All right. Well, actually, I'm just moving to a separate file on that one. While I'm moving to that, I actually have a fantastic milestone occurred in the history of reverse speech this year. We had our training school approved by the state of California. We've got the official verification down today, and we are now legally and legitimately recognized as a post-secondary educational institution. Mainstream acceptance.
Legitimized.
Legitimized. And that with our Department of Labor approval, which we got a few weeks ago, a few months ago, just really puts us in the forefront. So I'm very pleased about that. And on that note, I just wanted to mention that, and we'll start with a classic reversal of all time. I always start my programs with this one, and you know which one I'm going to play. Neil Armstrong taking his first steps onto the moon.
Yes.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And obviously a very emotional moment for Neil Armstrong, and
sure.
Seeing reverse speech occurs primarily in emotional situations. It's not surprising to hear a reversal here. Then we run it in reverse, and he says, man will spacewalk.
Man will spacewalk.
And we'll do it again.
Man will spacewalk.
Clear as can be.
Clear as day. And we'll just run it forward, then immediately reverse it.
It's one small step for man.
Yeah, and you know, as he steps onto the moon, he's that he is obviously thinking we will continue to move forwards into space. Man will spacewalk, which is indeed exactly what has happened.
Yes, of course.
And here's another well-known one that I don't think I've played on your program for a while. It's a classic example of reverse speech once again. It's obviously a very highly emotional situation, and this is a live commentary of JFK's assassination in Dallas, Texas.
Up the hill at this time. Stand by just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade route. Stand by, please. Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound.
And the reversal occurs right at the precise point where he realizes the shooting has occurred. And I'm just going to isolate that section and play that for you now.
Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting.
Let me run that backwards, and he says in reverse, he's shot bad, hold it, try and look up, which is his immediate thought at the time. He's been shot, stop everything, look around, where have the shots come from? Here we go.
He's shot bad, hold it, follow up.
God, that's
sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you did not. I said that's absolutely amazing, and that's, again, there could not be a more emotional moment for a reporter.
And once again, look at the direct congruent nature there. even that one incident alone, you have to say there's something to this. I mean, right at the point that he shot, we hear this reversal. He shot bad, hold it, try and look up. And I presume he's looking around for the shots, and he's thinking, look up, where are they coming from? And I'll run that forwards and backwards.
Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. He shot bad. Hold it. Follow up.
I mean, just a classic, very, very clear reversal.
Absolutely.
This is one of my favorites, too. This is actually me speaking, and here, this is me back in the very early days. I think I made this recording back in 87 when I was starting to get into this a little bit deeper. I started in 84, and as you know, I didn't really go public till last year.
Right.
With it. And the reason why I didn't go public for so long was because I was just as skeptical as everyone else is when they first started this. You know, I'm really just a normal everyday Aussie from the outback who does everyday standard things, and suddenly I was thrown into this whole new world of...
Now, that's really a good question. Did you go through a long period of self doubt?
Oh, yeah, an extremely long period, many years. Obviously I'm asking myself all the questions. I've got to be imagining this. There's some trick. I mean, and even when I was documenting all the relationships, my doubt was so strong. And I think a very significant turnaround for me was in 1988 when I was approached by a psychologist in Adelaide, who Adelaide's my hometown in Australia, and he offered to do electroencephalograph testing for me. Part of my theory, or part of what I was documenting, was entire conversations backwards, questions asked and answers given. And so this man was saying, okay, well, if you're claiming that conversations are occurring in reverse, and obviously the mind is hearing and responding, and we should be able to track this on electroencephalographs. And you know, I won't go into all the details, the experiment will take too long, but essentially we did the test blind. He had no idea where the reversals were. The people being conducted the test, who had the contest that conducted on them, had no idea why it was being done, and they were played tracks forwards, not backwards. And right at the precise point where reversals occurred, there was rapid activity between the left and right brain hemispheres from the moment it started to the moment it finished, the actual reversal itself, and different parts of the mind were stimulated depending on the content of the reversal. And I remember when he called me into his office to show me the results, and he didn't know what I had as well, because he didn't want to see my transcripts, and I had them timed out down to the precise second that they began and that they began and finished. And I was sitting in his office sweating, you know, and perspiration was dripping from me, because this was one of my key points. If we had registrations on an EEG, this was an electronic device separate from my own ears, then I knew we were onto something.
Sure.
And we were. And that was a very significant turning point for me. And I started doing some work for the Australian police in 88. I got a Australian government grant also in mid 88 that kept me going to the end of 89 to research this. And the work I did with the Australian police was just stunning. There was not a case I worked on where we did not find either, in one case we found the locations of the murder weapons, and another case we found the name of the bank and branch where the man had hidden funds. And it just kept on validating itself like this over and over and over again. And finally, I would say I've been probably for 3 years now at the point of total belief that this is real. But that was 10 years.
I'm getting there myself, and the reason is because I have a very critical audience. In other words, they will go away and investigate themselves, and hundreds, maybe thousands of them have, after your programs, gone away and done their own work.
Right.
And they come back to me with letters and email and faxes, and they say, oh my God, I tried it myself.
I know.
And it's true.
I know. I get the same thing. I'm amazed no one's discovered this before. I mean, I really am. I'm constantly surprised that someone hasn't spent the time to analyze this before. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I guess that's human nature. What's staring at us right in front of our face, we forget. And some of the most profound discoveries are very, very simple, as is this. So, anyway, all of that was leading up to the reversal I'm just about to play, which is one of the old classics, which I'm sure I've played on your program before. And this is back in 87, and I'm saying forwards, I got people coming to me and saying, David, I don't want to know what's going on inside my head, and all I do is play tape backwards.
I've been suddenly struck into this role where I have people coming to me and saying, David, I want to know what's going on inside my head, and I think, bloody hell, you're asking me, all I do is play tape backwards, you know.
Right.
And I'm starting to get it.
And the reversal here occurs on the section where I actually, the actual forward words I use is, all I do is play tape backwards. And when you reverse those precise words, you hear this very clear backwards phrase that says, look at that, all I am inside, which is exactly what reverse speech is, all that we are inside. So here we go.
Yep.
And there's just a little bit of give between the look at that and the all I am, about 1 second of meaningless sound. Let's do it one more time. And you got the direct complementary relationship. What happens when you play tapes backwards? You see all that we are inside.
Sure.
And reverse speech explains itself very, very well. You just got to look at the reversals, and they're extremely clear. And my whole approach to this, I've really adopted the attitude probably back in the late 80s that I don't know anything. I don't know anything about the mind, how it works, how it functions. But if reverse speech really is the voice of the unconscious, or whatever you call that term, then let it teach me how the mind works and how human behavior works. And that's been my entire approach. I've learned everything from what reversals have told me.
Well, while you are clearly the father of public reverse speech,
right.
In talking with Richard Hoagland, he seemed to indicate that he had knowledge that our government, certain agencies in our government, have been utilizing reverse speech for some years. And I know you've talked with him.
Right.
Does that make sense to you that quietly, covertly, the way our government does most stuff, it has been utilizing reverse speech?
Oh, sure. I'm convinced they have. I have heard consistent rumors myself. Once again, rumors are rumors, but one rumor I've heard from three different sources now, two of which I consider to be very reliable sources, claim that there was a joint research project conducted in the late 70s between the CIA and the British Secret Service. On looking, obviously they didn't call it reverse speech, not that I'm aware of, but into backward messages in language. And the rumor goes that they actually cracked a major terrorism controversy at the time.
Really?
Using reverse speech. Someone found, I can't remember the specifics of the story now, but someone found in reverse on one of the suspected terrorists the location of some key device, and they cracked the case. I've heard that consistently. I've heard another rumor from two different sources that a naval research academy located south of San Francisco was using it also in the late 70s for debriefing POWs. But that's a shady rumor. I'm not sure on that one. But yeah, I've heard rumors myself, and it would make sense. I actually lectured in Washington, D.C. on this in 91. To mid-level reps of some of these agencies. It was a four-day workshop I gave there.
Really? And how did they react to it?
It was an interesting reaction. There seemed to be great interest. They didn't come in with a great deal of skepticism, not that I could tell. They came in willing to learn, and they got more excited as time went on. We were part of the meeting with, they were going to get in contact with me. I sent a lot of my research notes off to one particular agency, which I regret doing now, but I did. I never heard back from them. The most amazing thing is I actually taped the whole 4-day meeting. And I've still got those audio tapes, and so I can verify that this actually did take place. And that was in 91. And given the implications of reverse speech, and I'm not in the least bit surprised that we'll be doing work on it, and the last thing that the government would want is the public to know and be aware of this technology.
All right. Your house was burned down.
Correct.
Do you think that your house was burned down as a warning at this late time now? It's been quite a while
right.
Down line. What have you concluded about that?
Well, my final conclusion, and we're still looking at it, but I've pretty well come to the final conclusion that yes, it was burned down as a warning. Be very careful, David. We finally got the 911 tapes last week, finally, after waiting 2 months for it.
Oh, you did?
We did. And they have been altered. I mean, it's an obvious alteration. I'm shocked.
Now, wait a minute. This is the 911 tape.
This is the 911 tape.
That who called 911?
Karen, my fiancé.
Fiancé called 911, said something like, oh, my God, there's a fire.
Correct.
You've got to get over here, whatever she said.
Correct.
And altered in what manner?
The operator told Karen an extremely strange statement. She said, well, they will be a while in getting there. And Karen said, they will be a while. Our house is on fire. You've got to come now. And that line was removed. Those two sentences were not in the tape that we got back, and you can actually hear the background noise shift. There's a difference. You can hear where it's been cut and spliced. And I was shocked. I was horrified. I can't believe that someone would go and actually alter the 911 tapes themselves. And we're in the process of filing suit against the fire department, and they didn't come on scene for 45 minutes. So I don't know whether it's them trying to cover themselves.
Well, you could imagine the motivation might be civil litigation, whatever.
Right.
But you doing all the work you have done, you can actually hear the change in the background noise.
Oh, yeah. It's extremely obvious. It's a very amateurish deletion. It hasn't been done well at all. I mean, someone with not much technical knowledge did that. It quite frankly, it sounds like someone put the pause button on. It sounds like I got a tape back that was taped on a very cheap tape recorder, and the pause button was put on and then removed when those two lines were spoken. So it was not a high-class job. And we've actually written back to them and asked for the original tapes. We're getting it analyzed now just to verify it. So I don't know. I think it was a warning. There's no doubt in my mind. There's so many strange circumstances surrounding the fire and events following the fire. The private investigator who's researching it now says it's probably one of the most bizarre cases that she's ever worked on.
Have you, since the fire and in your new location, have you received any additional threats, phone calls, things you would consider suspicious or worry about?
Well, our office was broken into again this week.
Oh, my.
Yeah, on Wednesday night. Someone got into the office and disabled the alarm system. They went into the accounting programs and downloaded the accounting files and scrubbed out a couple of client files. I don't know the rhyme or reason behind it.
You're really living on the edge, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. It's like a conspiracy movie, James Bond plot.
I don't think there's any conspiracy. All right, hold on. We'll get back to you. David Oates is my guest. I can imagine, though, that if what he is doing is real, he's going to keep getting those kinds of threats or worse. Oh, well, you only live once.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 27th, 1997. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired June 27, 1997.
My guest is David Oates, David John Oates. Mr. Reverse Speech, and I suspect that's how he'll be remembered. And hopefully it'll be a while before we have to remember him as the father of public reverse speech. But it doesn't look too good. They burned his house down, and about a week ago, they broke into his new house. As you can imagine, a technology with this sort of potential is dangerous for the author of it. I've got some news here on the a volcano, and it is true. Associated Press reporting that Montserrat has let go. Lying over villages of smoldering debris, rescue workers searched Friday for islanders killed when Montserrat's volcano erupted, gushing, get this, rock, ash, and gas hot enough to melt steel girders. The body of a young man recovered, raising the death toll to 7 thus far. And remember, this is one they were ready for. 13 people were missing from Wednesday's eruption, 9 of them presumed dead after they became caught in fast-moving flows of debris. The government has ordered 1,500 more people evacuated from the area and other West Central villages Friday after 2 smaller eruptions sent a deadly mixture of ash, rock, and gas, often heated to 930 degrees, hurtling down the mountainside that stopped less than 2 miles from Cork Hill. She's letting go, and we're just going to have to watch very carefully. We're getting quite a few reports now, but Montserrat is in eruption. Back to David Oates in a moment. We're going to begin with some you've heard and some you have not heard of the NASA reversals. Don Savage, Ray Villard were my guests from NASA for about 3 hours. And there is some new material to be heard. And then we are going to move on to the incredible news conference held by the Air Force. I've been kind here. And I was a member of the Air Force. With regard to Roswell, by a colonel, you'll recall, Colonel John Haynes, who forevermore now is going to be connected to the expression time compression.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What's going on around this planet right now are people who are just fed up. They're fed up with dictatorships, and they've had enough. Now, the big question is, can it happen here? And I think absolutely. One day, if we continue to have this spread of the haves and the have-nots, this continuing push for a new world order, it could happen. Mark my word, it could happen here too. Let's hope not.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You never know what you'll hear on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, there is terrorism out there. So in an effort to try to fight it or combat it, we give up these rights. I'm convinced that there are groups out there, sinister, powerful groups, that would create this terror to continue to control us.
I think you're absolutely correct. But of course, anybody that's followed the process of government throughout history, once a government has been given a certain amount of power, it always seeks more. And to suggest that our government is different because it's America, I guess that just shows how historically ignorant the American people have become. Because in a real sense, these things are our fault. Americans are, in fact, now trading liberty for security. every day this is going to happen now in our future, that we're going to allow this. It's just a matter of time.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. Now, let's go back to the night of June 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right. Don Savage and Ray Villard were on my program, one representing NASA, the other representing the Hubble telescope aspect of NASA. They spent a good 3 hours with me on the air, a very remarkable program, mainly coming on to answer and refute a lot of what Richard Hoagland and others have said about NASA. And, of course, in due time, we set our good friend David John Oates, Mr. Reverse Speech, on to looking for reversals in the course of that program, and boy, did we ever find some, didn't we, David?
We found some doozies, Art. They were just classic reversals, very clear reversals, very pointed, getting straight to the heart of, obviously, some major cover-ups and other operations going on.
All right, well then, let's get to it. Let's give them the best of NASA.
Let's get right to it.
Or the worst of NASA, depending
on your point of view. Okay, this is the one is from Ray Villard, and he's talking about how they select the projects they're going to fund, and he's particularly talking about Hubble in this case, but it's a general discussion of how they choose what they're going to do.
The selection on who gets to use Hubble is made by committees, peer-reviewed committees of other astronomers who come to Baltimore, meet at the Institute. They sort through the proposals, make their recommendations to our director.
And in reverse, we hear him thinking about another project they wanted to look at, is the way I understand reverse speech, and it says backwards, what's locked up with their starship, this needs to be known.
What's locked up with their starship, this needs to be known.
Wow, that's very clear.
Oh, that's so clear. So clear. And, you know, my question is, as I said in your program last time, what starship? what are we talking about?
What starship
here?
Is right?
Excuse me?
Play that in reverse one more time. Regular speed, please.
Okay.
What's the starship? This needs to be known.
I have no problem with that. What's locked up with their starship? This needs to be known.
Correct. And you can hear the emotional expression there, too. I mean, what's locked up with the starship? It's got this questioning tone to it. And then this needs to be known, a different tone once again, and it's very emphatic. That's a statement. You can actually hear there's two statements. One, the first one's a question, and the second one's a statement. And actually, if I could play it once more, listen to the tone and inflection.
Okay.
And you can, reversals have that tone.
What's locked up with the starship? This needs to be known.
You hear those two different expressions there?
Yes, very clearly.
Yeah.
Yes, the correct inflection is there in both cases. That's really startling.
Oh, yeah, extremely startling.
I mean, that's the way I would say it. This needs to be known.
Right.
It's like they want it out. The subconscious mind wants to tell the truth.
Oh, it absolutely does. One of the things I've become firmly convinced of in my many years of work with reverse speech is that we are basically at the core nature of our beings honest. We are essentially honest. And
sure.
The dishonesty that has crept into our world over forever, how many centuries it's been going on, is not our natural state of being. And one of the functions of reverse speech is to correct that, to make us honest in spite of ourselves. Some researchers claim that part of the reason for dreams is to release deep unconscious, to release emotional feelings and expressions that we don't normally express. And
sure.
I maintain reverse speech does the same thing. It's to release the truth. And if we didn't do that, we would psychologically collapse.
You bet.
Okay, so let's move on to another reversal. This is the talking about Hubble Space, the Hubble telescope looking at Hale-Bopp.
That's millions of miles away. If you do a little geometry, you figure out that that's way below even Hubble's resolution limits. And Hubble never truly resolved the nucleus.
And in reverse, he says, they've known the shield was up. And we remember the word shield came up two or three times in this transcript.
Yes.
The shield was up.
And there it is.
The shield was up. Boy, it sounds like Star Trek stuff, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's the whole feeling I had when I did this tape. And you think, that sounds like Star Trek. This reversal I'm about to play you now sent me through the roof. I'm talking about looking at Venus.
As I understand it, we did this only once before as an experiment. We looked at Venus, which, of course, is very close to the sun. And it just wasn't deemed that important. And also, as had been alluded to,
and a very bizarre reversal. There's ships in Eden, buildings and Americans there. Very precise statement. And once more. And I think that one's fairly clear too. The Americans got a slight tonal glitch on it, but still, what's Eden? Buildings and Americans where? It's like that. I don't claim to have the answers to a lot of these, but clearly there's a lot going on that we don't know anything about. And let's look at another classic one. This is he's talking about the probability of life existing.
Certainly, if you do the math, the probability is very high, almost 100%, that there is life out there, and a very good chance that there's intelligent life somewhere out there.
That's quite a statement to make.
And that we have a very simple reversal. It just simply says, there is life.
There is life.
Oh.
There is life.
Sorry.
Yes, that is very clear. There is life.
Yeah, he's hedging a bit forwards, although, you know, he says it's almost 100%, and in reverse, he just says a very simple statement, there is life.
There is life.
There is life. I mean, that is such a basic, profound, very profound statement.
Oh, yeah.
You know, David, how certain are you, this is so profound, so important, how certain are you that that is exactly what he was truly thinking?
Well, I'm certain that he was thinking it. I'm not 100% certain that he was thinking it consciously. Sometimes these reversals are coming from just below consciousness, and even deep. Still, although this is fairly straightforward. You can normally tell if it's coming from below consciousness if there's metaphors in their statements, and this one does not contain metaphoric content. So it's 75-80% possibility that he was actually thinking that at the time of speaking.
There is life.
There is life.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, and then we have another unusual reversal, and I do have an interest in outer space, but I'm not an expert in it by any means. And the talk of antimatter clouds is science fiction to me. And here we are, and you actually asked him a question about a rumored observation.
No, actually, it's not a rumored observation. Maybe it was then, but we now know they have in fact detected an antimatter cloud. There's no question about it.
Oh, okay. Well, the reversal is certainly very clear that there's no question. But at the time of this interview, you were saying that it was a rumor.
That's right. We were just getting the reports of it at the time of the interview.
Oh, wow. And when I played this reversal on the air, do you know back then, do you know whether it had been confirmed then?
No, I don't think so. I was just getting reports of it, okay. And, you know, it's one of those things.
Okay, well then, listen to this.
So are you referring to the what some are calling an antimatter cloud?
No, that's a different thing. Now this was a burst, we think, from very far away.
And he says in reverse, I'm afraid of that. Afraid it's the one. Very definitive statement. This thing does exist.
I'm afraid of that. It's the one.
Yeah. I'm afraid of that, afraid it's the one.
Afraid it's the one.
Yeah. Speaks for itself.
Well, there is a lot of thinking, David, that the dinosaurs, the Israeli scientists right now, believe the dinosaurs were made extinct not by some sort of KT event, an asteroid crashing in, but rather some sort of radiation crashing into the Earth.
Huh.
And so I would understand if that's what he thinks. I'll leave it right there.
Yeah, well, it's clearly fear. He says fear twice.
I'm
afraid of that. Afraid it's the one, and the statement, it's the one. Oh, my gosh, is this the one?
Yes.
It's going to do whatever it's going to do. There was definite fear in the reversal, and you were presenting it as a rumor, but he obviously knew this was more than a rumor. It was real enough to be causing fear.
All right.
Another question you asked him was about the conditions of the Mir space station, which, as we since know, you probably have a better idea what's happened than I do, but I believe there's been major disaster there since then.
Actually, yes, and the situation this night looks to be not good. In other words, I have right along thought they were not telling us the full truth about Mir, and even now, they're finally coming out and admitting the space station was in a tumble attitude for a while. Finally, they came out and admitted that. There's a lot they're not telling us.
Right.
And I thought at the time Mir was not safe, and that was confirmed for me.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Here we go.
What I've heard was they did have a couple of situations of, I think, a leak in a coolant system.
And it's a very amusing reversal. He's trying to downplay it forwards, but in reverse he says, shows this old bucket.
I share wish to fill a bucket.
I share wish to fill a bucket.
Obviously, it's not in good condition.
I share wish to fill a bucket.
Shows this old bucket.
Yeah. And I'm just playing some of the highlights here. You know, people can go to my website at www.reversespeech.com to hear the entire transcript. It's all up there for
sure.
all to hear, as well as the Roswell press conference. That's up there as well.
Which we're going to be getting to very shortly.
Correct.
All right, any other highlights from the NASA?
Oh, absolutely. There's a couple I want to play. We'll just pick out a couple here. Obviously, the face on Mars is a very significant section, so let me play a couple of these.
Shortly after it got there, when the mapping began that year, Viking Orbiter 1 sent back the picture, and somebody noticed it on there, and it was kind of a neat thing.
Talking about the face on Mars, and
right.
He's trying to downplay the whole thing, but in reverse he says, we're involved with Cydonia. Very significant reversal, because it mentions the name, and Cydonia is the region where the face on Mars has been seen.
Yes.
So, and they're obviously heavily involved.
They're in Mars, Cydonia.
No, that's so...
Sorry?
That is so clear, David. What are the odds of the word Cydonia coming up? It's impossible.
It's impossible. It's astronomical. I've never heard Cydonia in reverse, ever.
Listen, that's
in
just...
14
it's,
years.
It's so clear. I understand. It's so clear that you don't need to slow it up. Just give us the reversal again. Regular speed.
Here we go.
Very loud, Cydonia.
I mean, you know, the we are where involved with Cydonia. Grammatically correct sentence makes complete logical sense. It's totally congruent with what's been spoken forwards. I mean, you tell me this is a coincidence or even imagination. I mean, that's as plain as day.
Well, we're all waiting to see if Pathfinder somehow magically ends up at Cydonia instead of the 19.5 degree landing spot they had picked out. Anyway, we're involved with Cydonia. Give me a break. There is no way that cannot be exactly what that man was thinking. Is there any other way any of you out there can imagine the word Cydonia could just pop up in reverse? only perhaps in a world where time compression has become a natural fact, right?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 27, 1997. Mark Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 27, 1997.
Only girls who had sung gospel when they were young could do this. That's all I've got to say about Pointer Sisters. If you ever get a chance to see them live, don't miss it. They are as good live as they are here. The excitement in the audience, the whole place vibrates. They're one group you've got to see live. Absolutely unbelievable.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 27th, 1997.
Back now to David Oates. David,
yes, sir.
Let's do just a few more on NASA that you consider classic, and then we'll move on.
Okay. We're still talking about the face on Mars. There's two reversals in this section. One I didn't play last time, and I'll just lead into it. And he's just talking about the face on Mars.
Feature that looks like a face, I believe, is about a mile across.
Okay.
And it's way below Hubble's resolution. The resolution we have is good for sort of global monitoring of Mars and sort of looking at Mars as a weather satellite would look at Earth.
And this is one of those reversals that I don't know what it means. It's like, you know, what's locked up with their starship. This one says, we're riding a shielded vessel.
We're riding a shielded vessel.
Extremely clear.
That's extremely clear. We're riding a shielded vessel.
Extremely clear. Let's do it one more time.
We're riding a shielded vessel.
Why? What shielded vessel? How is it shielded?
Once again, though, I mean, here we are talking to guys from NASA. We're talking about space, and we get a reversal like we're riding a shielded vessel. It's totally congruent with the conversation, even if it is a mystery.
Completely.
We're riding a shielded vessel.
Now, listen, you know, the reversal before, I want to point something out before I play the next one. The reversal before says, we're involved with Cydonia. Then we say, we're riding a shielded vessel. Now, notice the we, referencing us. The words that reverse speech uses is very, very important, okay? So we, I presume, is NASA. So let's move right along, and we will look at another reversal, talking about the face on Mars.
And you don't have a whole lot of pixels covering it, so, you know, these aren't the best pictures that you can make some kind of a determination.
And two reversals here. The first one says, worst thing, are they hiding a fort? Or worst thing, probably the worst possible case scenario. He's talking forwards that they aren't the best pictures. They can't see it very clearly. And these are obviously questions they are asking themselves. What is there? Is it a fort?
Worst thing, are they hiding a fort?
I mean, it's clear as day.
Yeah.
Worst thing, are they hiding a fort?
And then the next one says, straight along, this next reversal occurred about 3 seconds later, does their ships hide with it? Slightly grammatically incorrect, the does, which is unusual in reverse speech. Normally reversals are extremely grammatically correct.
Does their ships hide with it?
Oh, that's very clear.
Yeah, and once more.
Does their ships hide with it?
Does their ships hide with it?
Now, interesting, two questions right next to each other. And it's got, you know, it's got that classic questioning tone as well. And I think this is something that he is thinking consciously. You know, are they hiding a fort? A fort, I presume, referring to military installation. And whose ships? What ship?
Well, even the they part of it is shockingly revealing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who are... they.
We know who we is.
We know who we are, that's right.
We're involved with Cydonia. We're riding a shielded vessel. But are they hiding a fort? Does their ships hide with it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, excuse me? What on earth is going on? And then you've got another reversal, making this mystery a little bit deeper still.
So those kinds of things have always been very interesting. The face itself, to to the degree that, you know, people have enhanced the pictures.
And Russell says, forced to pierce it.
Forced to pierce it.
And I think that was relatively clear.
Yes.
Forced to pierce it.
Forced to pierce it.
And what? To pierce what? The fort? The ships? What are they doing? And the whole thing that we get around the face on Mars is there is something there that they want to know. They're heavily involved with Cydonia. They're riding a shielded vessel. And they want to see what's there. They have been forced to pierce it. And now we're looking at probably this... we'll just play a couple more reversals that really tie this up in a nice little neat ribbon.
All right.
They can think of any number of explanations until we get better pictures that maybe would say something else. It's a wait and see attitude. They feel that, you know, certainly worth going back and taking pictures. We know that the public is interested in it.
And this simply says, they warned you first, but we get the gun now. Now notice the they and we, and here we have it in one reversal. They warned you first, but we get the gun now. A little bit unclear, but it's a little bit broken up. You hear that one okay?
I hear it vaguely.
All right, let's do it again at the slower speed. It's a fast.
I'm going to be absolutely honest with you when I respond. I hear absolutely clearly, and others are somewhat vague.
Right. It takes an ear to get used to it. You know, I tell my students you've got to calibrate your ears. They come in different tonalities and speeds. This one's a little bit fast. We'll do it one more time. And with that slow speed, I think it should be clearer. You can actually break the words up. They warn you first, but we get the gun now.
Right.
And it's they were warned by who, how, and are they going back armed with a gun, whatever that means.
Nothing good.
No.
I mean, all of the ones that seem to be coming, other than the gentle references to Cydonia, seem to involve fear.
Yes.
Guns.
Yes.
Shielding.
Yes.
Forts. Not friendly talk.
No. And we'll just do one more.
And for the record, I think it's interesting that if you look at some Mars pictures, you find Kermit the Frog and a couple smiley faces on Mars. So personally, I've never been convinced with this.
I see.
And Russell says, these ships are on it, but nobody's getting answered.
Yep.
Clear as day, that one.
Yep.
And so there's a big question, there's a big mystery around this whole thing. What's going on? And they're going back, obviously, from what I can determine from the reversals, to find out. My question is, why aren't we being told this? Why is this being kept in secrecy from a so-called public agency? Why the deception and these bizarre stories, which when you look at the Roswell press conference gets even bizarre.
Well, still. Because we live in a deceptive world, David. We live in a deceptive world.
And that's sad. That's all I can say. That's not how I was raised, I don't know why it's necessary. The way I approach life is honesty and openness is the best way. The deception and lies and deceit creates paranoia and anger and violence, and that's what we see in society now.
All right. Now there was this most amazing news conference. Colonel John Haynes came out just ahead of the 50th anniversary of Roswell and gave us the third explanation of how we all got mixed up and thought a spacecraft might have crashed in 1947. The only problem with what he was saying, well, of course, was that all of the film clips and all of the incidents he referred to regarding dummies, that was the new one,
yeah.
Came 6 years after the event in 1947 that there is so much evidence to support.
Right.
He couldn't come up with one shred of evidence that pointed to the year 1947, not anything.
Right.
And I had a million faxes and emails. Nobody bought what he was saying. And the question, I guess, is, as we approach the reversals that we're about to hear, is, was he buying it?
Not even close. Not even close. The whole thing was extremely amusing, quite frankly. I had to stop myself from laughing just listening to it. And once you hear the reversals, it's like, who are they trying to kid?
Well, it's humorous forward. It's going to be interesting to hear what it is like in reverse. So let's hear an example.
Okay, let's begin. I'm just going to pull one from the middle of the track, and then we'll start from the beginning and work to the end. This is a significant one to play right now, considering we just played the NASA reversal.
Right.
I'm sorry, I just don't have any information for that. All I know is what the Air Force did, and that if you overlay much of their claims and you look at the Air Force scientific research, you can see it's obvious that what we're talking about at Roswell.
And then he continues on with the dummies and operation and Project Mogul.
Right.
Backwards, share a secret with NASA.
Share a secret with NASA.
Oh, God, that's clear.
As clear as day.
Share a secret with NASA.
Share a secret with NASA.
Correct. One more time.
Share a secret with NASA.
Speaks for itself. NASA's referenced at least four or five times in this transcript.
Now the people may understand why we caught them up on the NASA reversals before we began this. Share a secret with NASA. One more time at regular reverse speed, please.
Okay, here we go. Just a slight delay here, and here it is.
Share a secret with NASA.
Oh, God. I know. I really have got to hear it. Now, give me the forward part of that again.
Okay, let's do
this. This just seems too incredible.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm sorry, I just don't have any information for that. All I know is what the Air Force did, and that if you overlay much of their claims and you look at the Air Force scientific research, you can see it's obvious that what we're talking about at Roswell.
All right, there was no NASA in there.
Oh, no, absolutely no.
There was no secret. There was no sharing.
No, and in point of fact, he actually says, I have no information about that.
Share a secret with NASA. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he obviously has information, and obviously NASA and the Air Force are including and looking at their files.
Share a secret with NASA.
I mean, there we go. You know, I've got 30-odd reversals here that are just as amusing and as pointed as, not quite as clear as the NASA ones, not quite as much information. I don't think this man knows a great deal. He knows enough to be dangerous, and we'll discuss it as we play the reversals. You know, they'll pretty much speak for themselves.
All right.
So let's go back to the very beginning. I just wanted to play the one I thought was a nice one to start off with as we lead into it.
Nice one, yes.
I am constantly amazed by the implications of reverse speech. In time when the public and the authorities begin to realize that this is real and it's more than just the ravings of a fringe group, when they begin to realize it's real, the implications are just staggering. I mean, it's staggering. There's nothing that you can hide anymore. And I believe that with every ounce of my being. This is the truth. Okay, so let's continue. Let's begin.
I'm sure I'd like to show you this book, tell you it's $18 and head for the door, but there are two armed guards right there, and they're not going to let me out of that easily.
So that's his
I remember that, yes.
That's his very opening statement. And he says, road with the plans.
Road with the plans.
And once more time, do it again.
Road with the plans.
Road with the plans.
What plans? I mean, I actually think this is a very simple statement. They planned this out, you know, and he's been involved in it or ridden with them. We'll do it one more time.
Road with the plans.
Okay, there's obviously an ulterior motive behind all of this. It's seen the plan significantly. This next one, I just cracked up laughing on this. I actually had to stop work. It was just so funny. Talking about the video.
Let me read my prepared statement, and then we'll roll a short video that Captain McAndrew will talk about.
And where it says, when we will roll a short video, backwards it says, we faked it.
We faked it.
I mean, you know.
We faked it.
I mean,
oh,
I mean, give me a break. I mean, just give me a break. Who are they trying to kid? It's like the goal to go up front and present all of this and say, we faked it.
We faked it.
One more, a bit saucy.
We faked it.
Oh, my, we faked it.
Yeah. And on the same trend, I'm going to play this one. There's one after immediately after that's not as clear, but it's the same vein. Let me just run it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
We're confident once the report is out and digested by the public that this will be the final word on the Roswell incident.
I don't think so.
That's humorous forward, actually.
Oh, yeah. And when he says that we're confident once the report is out on those words, he says, and it's not true. It's not a particularly clear reversal. There's a tonal glitch on the knot, but because it's significant, I want to play it.
It's not true.
Can you hear that one okay?
What I heard is, it's not true.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, no, that's very clear. Play it again.
Okay.
It's not true.
I'm just looking at it from the research.
No. Give it to me at regular speed backwards.
Okay.
It's not true.
No, it's very clear to me.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. I'm just listening to the tonal glitch on the word not. And see, this is my really analytical mind. I hear these sounds and I dissect them down to the nth degree because I have to. That's the only way we can preserve accuracy. But
well, without specific knowledge of what did occur at Roswell, but simply with knowledge that what did occur at Roswell, he knew something happened, and he knew he was out there presenting inaccurate information. And you would expect that would be about the level of knowledge this poor colonel sent out to do the impossible would have. And that's what I'm getting so far.
Yeah, he doesn't give much away in terms of what really happened, because I don't think, quite frankly, this man knows. Based on the reversals, he knows that there's some collusion going on with NASA, the first one. He knows he was given a job to do. He rode with the plans. I don't know how he specifically faked the video, but it was, well, we faked it, and it's not true. I mean, it's very bizarre. It's blatant. It's just blatant. As I said, I don't know how they could do it. Okay, here's another exceptionally clear one. I'm not too sure what this means, but
this report has four main conclusions. If you have your books, turn to page 3. We'll have a lesson.
And he simply says, sell the battle.
Sell the battle.
Oh, that's clear.
Sell the battle.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do it again. You know, well, the battle's a confusing reversal, unless there's an internal struggle about it. Maybe he doesn't, he's not totally happy with it, but sell this is the best way I can.
Sell the battle.
Yeah, I pondered on that one for a while, and I can't come up with a possible meaning for it. But the sell is sell this to the public, but why the word battle? It's, I don't pretend to have all the answers with reverse speech. I document what I hear. Most of it is very logical. That one's a little bit vague.
I've begun to find out that a lot of times, David, after you're on the air, reversals that you're unsure of, people out there glom onto,
right,
and they attach meaning to them or think they know, and I get a lot of faxes and email, and people will say, here's what David missed, or here's what they were actually saying.
Right.
And so you're a technician in reverse speech. You're not a technician in matters of space.
No, I'm not.
And UFOs and that sort of thing. So it is natural that they might glom on to some meaning that you might miss.
Right. Well, it was quite interesting. After the last broadcast, I spoke to Richard Hoagland the following couple of days or the following week, and a lot of the things that I was presented on your program that I didn't really know what meant or had no knowledge of it, Richard was just tickled pink about it, because he was saying, I've been saying this for years and years and years, and what you uncovered in reverse is what I know to be true. And it's just an extra validity for me and for those around. Because I have no knowledge, because I have no bias.
Well, actually, that makes it all the more believable. David, stand by. We'll come back and we will continue with reversals from poor Colonel Haynes. I think of him that way anyway.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 27, 1997. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 27, 1997.
I don't know. Music sets the mood, doesn't it? And this one always does it for me.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What's going on around this planet right now are people who are just fed up. They're fed up with dictatorships, and they've had enough. Now, the big question is, can it happen here? And I think absolutely. One day, if we continue to have this spread of the haves and the have-nots, this continuing push for a new world order, it could happen. Mark my word, it could happen here too. Let's hope not.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. You never know what you'll hear on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, there is terrorism out there. So in an effort to try to fight it or combat it, we give up these rights. I'm convinced that there are groups out there, sinister, powerful groups, that would create this terror to continue to control us.
I think you're absolutely correct. But of course, anybody that's followed the process of government throughout history, once a government has been given a certain amount of power, it always seeks more. And to suggest that our government is different because it's America, I guess that just shows how historically ignorant the American people have become. Because in a real sense, these things are our fault. Americans are, in fact, now trading liberty for security. Every day, this is going to happen now in our future, that we're going to allow this. It's just a matter of time.
Now, let's go back to the night of June 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Back now to David Oates. David, we're just picking up a new audience, so we just began on the reversals of this poor colonel, and I would like to go back to the first one you did and repeat it. Can we do that?
Are we talking about we faked it or the share a secret with NASA?
Well, actually both.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do the share a secret with NASA. That's the very first one I did, and we're running it forward.
I'm sorry. I just don't have any information for that. All I know is what the Air Force did, and that if you overlay much of their claims and you look at the Air Force scientific research, you can see it's obvious that what we're talking about at Roswell.
And here we have reversal on this. He's talking, forwards, he says right at the very beginning, I have no information. But in reverse, we hear him say, share a secret with NASA.
Share a secret with NASA.
And again.
Share a secret with NASA.
Very clear.
Very clear. Speaks for itself.
Do you remember the reversal you did a little while ago that said it isn't something about the battle?
Oh, right. Sell the battle, yeah.
Sell the battle. Well, somebody just sent me a fax and said, listen again, it's not sell the battle. It's sell the babble.
You know what? I was fluctuating between babble and battle when I found it, and even an hour before I went on the air, I had Karen in, and we were listening to it over again, and I couldn't determine. I finally opted for battle. We'll play that in a second again, then, but let's just play that we faked it first.
All right, go right ahead.
And this one's so hilarious.
Let me read my prepared statement, and then we'll roll a short video that Captain McAndrew will talk about.
And talk about the video, we faked it.
We faked it.
I mean, as blatant and as clear as day. Yeah, and actually, I mean, let's quickly do it's not true as well. These two are the two hilarious ones of all.
All right, now going back to the NASA reversals, which talked all about shielding,
yes,
and all the rest of that.
Yes,
Colonel Philip Corso has the newest, hottest book out. About ETs and Roswell and all the rest of it right now.
Right.
It's called The Day After Roswell. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah,
His book, Colonel Corso talks about, get this, shielding our space vessels and satellites from electromagnetic pulse weapons, from EBEs, that's extra terrestrials, extra biological entities, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, oh, my gosh, is
that
right.
That is amazing. You know, there's reversal on the original NASA tape, Mars Set This Ray Gun.
Yes.
And then there's another one that talks about the ray beam right at the very end.
Now, this is particularly interesting because, again, you don't know a damn thing about all of this. You're just doing the reversals and wondering what the shielding business is about. Here's Colonel Corso, well-respected, talking about shielding our space vessels. I mean, that's almost too much for me.
Right.
All right. Well, anyway, let us continue with the poor colonel.
Yeah, the poor colonel's really, really true too. Let's just do that to sell the battle again. I'll just run the reversal. I don't know whether, and let's appeal to Tyson Sell. Is it battle or babble?
Yes.
Sell the battle.
Sell the battle.
Oh.
Sell the battle.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got to agree with this faxer. It sounds like babble to me. Sell the babble.
You know, Karen was saying it was babble, too. And she checks a lot of my reversals. And she said to me, David, it's the difference between the Aussie and the American accent. And she could very well be right.
No, know? I agree with the faxer. Not only that, but to use your favorite word, it makes it congruent.
Correct. It makes it totally congruent, you know.
Sell the battle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sell the battle.
Sorry, I that's it, all right.
Oh, that's fine. I bow down.
Wow. Sell the battle. Oh, God, I love that.
Yeah, I'm just I'm just documenting what I hear and applying the best independent unbiased protocols I can.
Sell the Bible.
All right, let's move on.
Sure.
We faked it. It's not true. Sell the babble. I'll buy that. And now we get into a little bit of the motivations of why they're doing this.
Right.
Bodies observed in the New Mexico desert were probably test dummies that were carried aloft by U.S. Air Force high-altitude balloons for scientific research.
Right. And that's, the reversals here actually don't relate to that, but the first one says, press, hurry up. He obviously wants the press to cover this.
Press, hurry up.
Press, hurry up.
Can you hear that one
press,
okay?
Press, hurry up. Oh, yes,
yeah,
sir.
Press, hurry up.
Press, hurry up.
Now, this is...
Somebody sent me a cartoon yesterday, David. It showed a saucer about to crash, and there were two aliens in the saucer.
Right.
Alien one said, "Oh my God, we're going to crash." Alien two said, "Okay, throw out the Air Force dummies."
That's funny. That's hilarious. There was actually one that someone posted on my bulletin board about it said, applying reverse psychology, and I thought was interesting considering the program we're doing now, and I had the colonel saying, we all lied, there was a UFO there, and there were alien bodies recovered, and then the public says, yeah, right. Reverse psychology, you know.
Yes.
Okay, and the next one, very curious reversal, you defeat NASA.
Look at this NASA.
Look at this NASA.
Okay.
NASA is extremely clear.
Yeah.
And again, this is why we led with the NASA stuff, folks, because there would obviously be a connection, and we're establishing one again and again and again with the poor colonel's reversals. NASA mentioned again and again and again.
A strong connection. I've never heard NASA in reverse before, you know, I don't know what it means, you defeat NASA.
Well, and I've sure never heard Cydonia. By the way, can you crank that one up for the late audience, the Cydonia one? That's impossible. That was during my interview with the two NASA guys, and there was no, we're going to play the forward part for you first. There was no mention of Cydonia, for heaven's sakes.
Right, and here that one is coming up right now. Let's run the forward.
Shortly after it got there, when the mapping began that year, Viking Orbiter 1 sent back the picture, and somebody noticed it on there, and it's kind of a neat thing.
And here it is. We're involved with Cydonia. And we'll do it again, just at regular speed.
We're involved with Cydonia.
Uh-huh.
Impossible. And, totally impossible.
And if people want to hear these themselves, they can go to my website, www.reversespeech.com.
Okay.
You can also call our office at 1-800-669-5789. 669-5789, and we have tapes available of these, and I've got my book and tapes and machines and all sorts of stuff.
All right.
Okay, so let's go back to
the poor colonel.
Yeah, poor colonel is really true, and there's actually a reversal on him towards the end where he says in reverse, all I want to do is serve. That's not the exact words, but when we get to it, you'll hear that. He's really just doing his job.
His job, I know.
Okay, here's this one I can't play, so I've snipped it. We talked about it in the first hour. But
all right, now I want the audience to know what word is being said. It's bull blank, and everybody can fill in the blank there.
Correct.
But we're going to have to blank that part out.
I've deleted the blank already.
Right.
These conclusions are listed in page 3, as I said, of the book. Please roll the video.
And reversal is, I live in bull blank. And they can hear the full reversal on my site.
I'd like to.
I live in bull.
I live in bull.
I live in
bull.
I just put the rest in, you know.
And we just had to eliminate the... How clear was the...
Oh, no doubt.
Really?
No doubt. I couldn't play it on the air. go to my website and you can hear it, or call my office and we've got the tapes available.
All right. The full reversal is available on his website.
Yeah. I live in bull. Let's do it again.
I live in bull.
You've got to imagine the rest of those.
Yeah, I can't play the rest.
I understand.
But, I mean, look at the trend here. We faked it. It's not true. Sell the babble, as you corrected me on. I live in bull. Okay, and now we're going to move on to the next one in series, and we're running it forward now.
And that's when he began to do further research. He sent it up the chain, and they said, this is excellent information. It's outstanding scientific research by the Air Force.
And this is another NASA reversal. Curse you to beat NASA. And we had the other one earlier that says, you defeat NASA. So what's going on here? There's some rivalry here. I mean, they're sharing the secrets, but there's also an obvious rivalry of some description.
Curse you to beat NASA.
Yeah.
Curse you to beat NASA.
Yeah, and let's run that again. Curse you to beat NASA.
Curse you to beat NASA.
Yep.
Curse you to beat NASA.
And there's another reversal after it. In point of fact, it was actually one reversal, but I split it into two. And the other half of the reversal, I have no idea what it means. Lying in its slice.
Lying in its slice.
Lying in its slice.
No idea.
Lying in its slice.
In its slice. Absolutely no idea. This kernel had a couple of obscure reversals, and that's one of them. I just have absolutely no idea what that means. But, as you say, I'm sure someone out there who knows more than me will have the answer, so I'm going to play it. Okay, and let's move on. This next one's concerning.
What do you think people in Roswell and elsewhere still are not convinced, no matter what you say?
I'm sorry, but I just can't answer that question for them. But they must look at the evidence.
Okay, got to obey it, they killed some.
Obey it, they killed some.
Obey it, they killed some.
It's a bit quick, but...
What I hear is they killed some. I don't hear the first part.
Okay, let's run at just a slightly slower speed. The got is fairly quick. You should better hear the obey it, though.
Obey it, they killed some.
Let's just pick it up on obey it. Maybe that'll work.
Obey it, they killed some.
No, I didn't do it properly. Let's do it one more time.
Obey it, they killed some.
There we go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, obey it, they killed some. I have no idea what that means. It's a little bit concerning.
Well, it makes sense that a lot of what we would hear, frankly, since we don't really know what's going on and we only have suspicion, wouldn't make sense to us.
Right. And as I've said before on previous programs, reverse speech is probably more accurate to say that it's footnotes from the unconscious. We don't get the entire picture. You know, we're just getting little sound bites here and there once every 10 seconds or so that occur in these quick, sharp sentences.
Sure.
Okay. This next one.
Nothing in here was ever classified. In the first report, everything was classified in the 70s.
This next reversal is pretty obvious. See the mess.
See the mess.
See the mess.
See the mess. Yes, oh, it's very clear. The mess.
See the mess.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, see the mess, they're in confusion, there's obviously a lot going on, they're trying to sort it through, work out what's happening.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I would dearly love to have this poor Colonel John Haynes here. Now, I mean right now, have you ever had the object of your reversals, other than for, you know, maybe me, you did a few on me.
Right.
Other than that, have you ever had a major object of your reversals present to react to your reversals as you play them?
Yes, I have.
How does that...
Well, it depends. There's a classic example. I have an attorney in Los Angeles who uses this occasionally. She does reversals on her depositions. And she's actually gone back and confronted people with the reversals and got chilling reactions. One man went into a cold sweat and tore off the microphone and stormed out of the room and said, "You will never get the truth out of me."
Oh, my.
That's an investigative situation. See, reverse speech, when you hear your own reversals, it really does send chills down your spine.
This is not the average thing you want to say as you're leaving a deposition. You will never get the truth out of me.
Correct. See, I believe that we can actually, I think investigative authorities can actually use this to break down suspects. There's an intense power behind your own reversals, and it chills you to your soul.
I would think in police interrogation, for example, it would be an incredible tool because here the person is under tremendous strain. They're not used to being interrogated by a detective. The detective is asking very hard questions. The responses are emotional, probably with beads of sweat falling off the guy.
Right.
And to be confronted with reversals might be the straw that breaks the suspect's back.
Oh, sure. And I actually use it in therapy all the time. You're probably aware the bulk of my business is my therapy work. I have a large practice in San Diego. And what this does for the therapeutic patient is just awe-inspiring. It's breathtaking. We can cut through psychological blocks and barriers rapidly in just one session. With reading people's reversals, I have seen those walls come down so fast it takes your breath away.
David, hold tight. We'll be right back and we'll do more reversals. I think you've got a few more on the kernel, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, the poor colonel. I really think of him that way. I mean, I still like my image of the meeting where the colonel was told he was going to be the one to go out and talk about time compression by the general. Son, you got to go out there and you got to do your duty for your country. Compression, time compression, son.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 27th, 1997. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired June 27, 1997.
Good morning. I'm Art Bell, and my guest is David Oates. We're doing reverse speech right now on poor Colonel Haynes. I keep saying poor Colonel Haynes because I just can't imagine that he really wanted to go out there and say all that. Can you? And yet, look what I got. Look at this. Don in Nebraska says, Art, did you happen to catch Tom Snyder tonight? No, I haven't caught him in a long time. I don't think he's broadcast locally. I never got the guest name, but he spent the entire show ragging on Roswell, Whitley Strieber, and UFOs in general, while praising the Air Force Colonel person, or Colonel John Haynes, that did the press conference on C-SPAN this week. Well, Don, that's incredible. I wonder how anybody could praise that presentation. And I would be very interested in where he found the merit and how he dealt with the minimum 6-year time compression the colonel couldn't account for. Oh, my. Oh, well.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. Now, let's go back to the night of June 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Let me read you a quick fax coming from British Columbia, Ian in British Columbia. Art, after listening to the air farce, his word, description of the true, in quotes, events concerning Roswell, they continue to get into deeper doo-doo, don't they? I just howled this morning when Headline News featured yet another report stating the residents of Roswell may have confused an injured Air Force pilot who had sustained head injuries resulting in a swollen cranium with a supposed alien. This is truly great entertainment, and I look forward to the Air Force's next press release. David?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we are again.
Okay, and I just downloaded a couple of emails with two people telling me that it says sell the Babel.
And Babel, I've got 10 faxes here saying exactly the same thing. So I think maybe we caught you on that one.
Well, I'm the first one to admit if I make a mistake.
Well, it is a mistake that went to the side of congruence.
Good. That suits me just fine. And maybe I can actually use that to illustrate a point. I document what I genuinely hear, whether it fits in with my theories or not, you know. And,
sure.
And I finally opted on Battle even though it made no sense. I'm trying to be honest and...
Well, that's coming through loud and clear, my friend.
Okay, here's a reversal that'll send some chills down people's spines. It's one of those horrible metaphors that I never play, but this one I want to. It's extremely clear.
All right.
I'm talking about Groom Lake, Nevada.
Oh, yes.
My daughter asked me the same question. There is a facility in Groom Lake, Nevada. Quite frankly, I have no knowledge or expertise in the matters. I understand there are classified things that go on there, and that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, I know. Listen to the reversal. Hear the Lucifer here.
Hear the Lucifer, yeah.
Ooh. Hear the Lucifer, yeah.
You hear that one?
Oh, too clearly.
It doesn't send chills down your spine.
Hear the Lucifer here.
Do it again.
Hear the Lucifer, yeah.
There we go.
Just give it to us at regular reverse.
Okay.
Hear the Lucifer, yeah.
And Lucifer's a metaphor in reverse speech.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It's not a common one. It refers to a grand deception, master manipulation. It's a very powerful metaphor. If I see someone with a Lucifer metaphor, I'm going to take great caution and great respect. Here's someone you don't want to mess with. And it just gives... I still get chills hearing this one. And actually, it's interesting your comment is very clear, because the metaphors are actually clearer than the regular conscious reversals that I generally tend to play mostly.
But, well, that one clearly... was I guess metaphoric. To me though, it seemed quite clear. And there are lots of people out there, David, believe me,
yeah,
who think what's going on at Area 51 has lots to do with Lucifer, frankly.
Well then let me play another reversal that has it's another metaphoric statement that a lot of people would connect with a lot. I'm just going to play it. I skipped it before, but it's it's in the same note of biblical-type revelation stuff.
Claims of bodies at the Roswell Army Air Field Hospital were most likely a combination of two separate incidents.
And here's another metaphoric statement. They share the mark.
They share the mark.
Hear that one okay?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
They share the mark.
Yeah, mark, I believe, it's not
mark
a common...
Mark of the beast?
Correct, yeah. Not a common metaphor in reverse speech. It comes up occasionally, and that's also around the claims of bodies.
That'll put chills down plenty of religious spines, believe me.
Oh, yes, it will. One day I'm going to release the whole metaphoric nature of reverse speech, which quite frankly is over 70% of all reversals are metaphoric in content, and some of their messages are chilling. But I think the public's got enough problem dealing with reverse speech alone without bringing that one in. Let's just run that forwards and reverse, the Lucifer reversal again.
There is a facility in Groom Lake, Nevada. Quite frankly, I have no knowledge or expertise in the matters. I understand there are classified things that go on there, and that's all I have to say about it. You delicify, yeah.
That's it.
You delicify, yeah.
Oh, God.
I know. And the next one along from this is just as ominous. Let me load it up, and we'll run it.
Because our job is to review all the Air Force documents for this era. And that's how we came up with this exciting and interesting and intriguing, quite frankly, report.
And this one says, I make you our slave.
Well, me, you are slave.
Well, me, you are slave.
Hear that one okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
It's obvious an intent. I see it as manipulation. You know, you will believe what we say.
And I heard the press laughing in the background during the forward part.
Interesting, yeah. Do you want to run that for us again?
Let's
do it one more time.
Listen, everybody, you can hear some of the press laughing.
Our job is to review all the Air Force documents for this era, and that's how we came up with this exciting and interesting and intriguing, quite frankly, report.
There it is. I'd be curious to see.
As a matter of fact, even he began to chuckle at the end.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, you are slaved.
I mean, you know, you don't even need reversals on this press conference, quite frankly. So,
I know.
You really don't.
I know, but it was an irresistible target.
Oh, absolutely. And as you know, when you rung me, I was already doing it. Because even before you called, because I was curious in it myself. We've got a few more to play. A couple of very disturbing reversals right at the very end. But this is one for poor Colonel Haynes.
Because this is intriguing and fascinating research. You may have noticed this is also the 50th anniversary of the United States Air Force.
And he says, yes, I need to serve.
Yes, sir, I need to serve.
Yes, sir, I need to serve.
Okay.
God, that is disturbing because I have thought, right through watching Colonel Haynes in his performance, my word,
yeah.
That's exactly what he was doing and what he thought he was doing, David. He was serving his country.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what he was doing. You know, the very first reversal, he rode with the plans. This is what he was told to do, and this is what he did. I think he was probably chosen because he didn't know a great deal. He knew enough to be able to pull this off, but he didn't know a great deal. He's doing it for the public service.
Sure.
This is his job. I don't see any maliciousness in this man at all, in reverse, although when I say malicious, he has knowledge of events which, when we get to the last two reversals, concern me a little bit.
You may have also concluded that we have been talking about other things, about space and things of that nature, and this altitude balloon research is quite fascinating, but it was left in the dust.
Okay, this is right at the very end of the interview. I haven't played all of these reversals, just the highlights.
Right.
But, this is right at the very end, and he knows he's messed up. The reversal says, I've been caught.
I've been caught.
Oh, God.
I've been caught.
He knows that this has not gone over well. Poor man. This is immediately after a yes, I need to serve. Then he says, I've been caught. Oops, we just lost the file for a second.
All right.
I've been caught.
There it is.
I've been caught.
Oh, that is too clear.
Yeah. And there's another one here that I don't know what it means, so let's play it straight after. Sad when they fell.
Sad when they fell.
Sad when they fell.
And that was straight after I've been caught.
About well, now, wait a minute. I might know what that means. Sad, sad when they fell.
Uh-huh.
I think I know what that might mean, David. There are a lot of witnesses to the Roswell incident who indicate that the alien creatures that crashed in the desert there were pathetic. They were dying, and it was a very sad event. And
oh
yes, indeed. I've talked to a lot of people about exactly that. Sad when they fell. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Oh, okay. Well, then
let me hear that again, please.
Sure. Here we go.
Sad when they fell.
Yeah.
And we'll do it one more time.
Sad when they fell.
And you've got that that agonizing tone too. You hear his little. It's almost like his throat's catching on the word sad.
I have no problem with that one whatsoever. I understand that perfectly.
Okay, now a couple of revealing reversals now. We've got three more to play on this one. Let's load this up. He's been asked, the question was whether there's any other, are they still researching UFOs or are there any other research projects being done?
Unidentified flying objects, that there are extraterrestrial visits and the Air Force simply has not found it or been able to detect it?
That's the reporter's question.
We have researched the Air Force projects and the Air Force information for these year groups. We have nothing else to say about
them. Okay, very significant reversal. Ashamed of missile praying it. And I spelt praying as P-R-E-Y, as in a praying.
As in praying upon.
Correct. And yes. Then there's two words after that that says skies doubt. And the skies doubt, I see that as we don't know what's in there. There is doubt, and we have missiles seeking and looking.
Ashamed of missile praying, skies doubt.
Uh-huh.
You
I
hear that
right.
One okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
The significant word, too, is ashamed. He doesn't like being involved in this, but he's doing his job.
Yes.
Let me run it one more time. Okay, and the next ones are just as significant. And these two reversals are side by side, and it's important, and that's another common trend in reverse speech. You don't get reversals that are isolated from each other. They string together
sure.
And make a story, and then you get three or four reversals that pursue the same theme, and then they'll shift to a different theme.
Well, that makes sense, just as thought strings together.
Right, right. Sure. Right, and that's what you're seeing in reverse speech. You're seeing the unconscious mind and the conscious mind organizing thought processes and facts and events and reasoning. And I mean, it's such a complex phenomenon. Once you really get down and study it, it's just incredible. I love this. I'm consumed with reverse speech. It's my passion. Okay, let's continue. Roz,
it's Project Blue Book was the end, and that's it.
You know, I don't ever want to speak for the Air Force about never again, but it's my opinion that they will not.
Okay, two reversals here. It says, I don't want to ever speak for the Air Force about ever again, and the reversal, I was so afraid of its colonel.
I was so afraid of its colonel.
And one more time.
I was so afraid of its colonel.
There's some fear there. And then he says, arm more weaponing.
Arm more weaponing.
I'm all yet to me.
Is that okay?
Just fine.
Yeah, and that's in conclusion. That's in line with ashamed of the missile praying it. There's a sky's doubt. There's a doubt in the sky. I was afraid of the colonel. I'm more weaponing. This is a man who is serving his country. He has some knowledge of what's going on behind the scenes. The video was faked. He knows all about that. He's selling the babble.
Yeah, you know, all of this is exactly what I would expect to get. I would not expect this colonel to have deep knowledge, but a cursory knowledge of what he was sent out there to cover up. And that is exactly what we have gotten.
That's exactly true. And let me just play one more reversal on this.
We hear that the Air Force compiled this information at the request of the GAO, at the request of the New Mexico congressperson, if I'm correct.
Now, that was report one, sir.
Okay, a very simple reversal. Personnel role will deny that. Personnel role will deny that.
Personnel role will deny that.
Personnel role will deny that.
And that one's, I think, fairly clear, too.
It was, and you know, interestingly, I heard a little bit of that ethereal sound in that one.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah, you don't get the ethereal sound so much in public broadcasts. See, he's in an extremely left-brain situation. He's on the spot. He's trying to get his point across. The reversals drop off in their clarity. You notice these were not as clear as the NASA reversals, where the conversation's far more free-flowing and spontaneous. Here he is on the glares of camera.
Sure.
Reversals drop off. You lose some of the ethereal nature of it. But when you get down to regular, normal conversations, like two people just chatting side by side, the reversals are so clear. It's as though they're forward.
Well, as usual, David, this has been absolutely stunning. And as far as I'm concerned, more confirmation of the absolute validity of reverse speech. Too much congruence here, far too much to have been any sort of coincidence.
Right.
And I would like to give you an opportunity to again carefully give out your phone number and any information you want the audience to have about your website or anything else.
Okay. Well, what we really need right now is people to be trained to use this technology. You know, since the last broadcast, our phones have not stopped ringing. I've got requests for tape analysis. I've got people wanting this and that, and we need people to come and help. Now, there's several ways that you can do that. You can take training. We have a correspondence course that you can do it at home, or you can, our next in-house training is not starting until January, and now that we've been approved by the state of California, it's a very legitimate mainstream college. I'm expecting that the career opportunities in this will be immense. Let me give you my 1-800 number for that, and then
please,
we'll continue talking. It's
1-800-669-5789.
That's 1-800-669-5789.
All right.
We also have the machines available where you can do it yourself. We have a special on this week because we had such an influx of business from the last show, where anyone who wants to get a machine now will get included in that a free video on how to use your machine, on how to find reversals. Just a very, well, I think it's an hour and a half on how to use it and how to find reversals. That will be included with the order. My book is an absolute must, quite frankly. It goes right into the details of how to find them, how to locate them. It covers a lot of my very earlier technical tests, the blind testings that I've done to verify this, the history of reverse speech. It goes into a large section on therapy, politicians, O.J. Simpson, the whole gamut. It's a fascinating reading.
All right. How do they get that?
They can call my office once again at 1-800-669-5789.
Okay.
800-669-5789.
So information, machines,
tapes,
the
videos,
the whole lot.
Yeah, we're fairly well equipped. I've really spent most of the last 18 months just getting a product line together to get the information out, and also the product sales fund us as well. We're not, you know, I don't have any grants or anything like that. This is purely self-funded, and so all of that helps us. Or you can go to my website at www.reversespeech.com.
All right, my friend, we're out of time. As usual, it has been stunning. Thank you, David.
Thank you very much, Art. I do appreciate it.
Until next time, take care.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 27th, 1997.
I can't survive. I can't save my life.
presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired June 27, 1997.
And it was nice to hear from that ham in Boston. And I guess I have another comment here. Yes, I've been involved in radio since I was old enough to get up and twist the knob and begin to take my mom's appliances apart. It has always taken my breath away, radio. It's still magical after all these years. You know, to me, the fact that that you can send a signal through the air thousands of miles, hundreds, thousands of miles, sometimes to the very other side of the earth. It's magical. It's magic. It's always been magic to me. And I can remember the very first contacts I had when I was a ham, by code, you know, we call it CW. And it took my breath away, believe me, and it still does. And what I do here on the radio is kind of an extension of that. Not kind of, it is. A lot of times when I get off commercial radio, I'm on ham radio. In other words, I'm a hopeless case. And I think I always will be. Here I am at 52 years of age. And I haven't changed. So the odds are pretty good, you know, from 12 to 52 regarding my first license. I'm not going to change. I'm always going to be this way about radio. And Ken writes me another fax here. Again, urging me to do what Laura Schlesinger is doing. Laura Schlesinger, according to Ken, has an hourly advertisement urging station managers or program directors or whoever to vote for her for the Marconi Award. I just, Ken, couldn't do that. Wouldn't do that. Somehow, you know, on the air, I just wouldn't do that. I just wouldn't lobby for it. Unless what I'm saying right now amounts to a lobby for it, and that's as much as you're going to hear. I'm not going to have any hourly campaign to lobby for the Marconi Award. But I am deeply honored to even be considered for the Marconi Award. I mean, radio really has been my life. Not just commercial radio, not just what I'm doing here, but radio in general. The absolute magic of radio. So the award would be an honor in that respect. What we're doing here, and Ken mentions the forum, and he's right about that. What we're doing here is a very different kind of forum. So in my opinion, it will either be recognized as that and something very different than is going on anywhere else, or not. But simply being nominated for it is honestly enough for me. And I'm just not going to have an on-air lobbying campaign, which National Association of Broadcasters absolutely does allow. I mean, it's like the Academy Awards or something, you know. You can lobby for it, you can have advertisements for it and all that kind of stuff. But, nah. I don't think so. I wouldn't feel right about it. I just wouldn't feel right about it. And so I'm not going to do that. But thank you, Ken. Thank you very much for your concern. Now, referring to the Tom Snyders, I guess Tom Snyder had somebody named Harlan Ellison on, a science fiction author. No, I have not heard of him. He did not come across well, according to Jim in Redondo Beach. He would not listen to one word of anybody who disagreed with him. He even lowered himself to calling some of the callers' names. According to him, everyone in Roswell is, I'm quoting, a farmer or a hick. Tom Snyder, he says, just lost a lot of credibility with me. Well, Jim, don't take it out on Tom Snyder. He just, you know, is doing a talk show. Take it out on the person who would use that sort of tactic. I will refer you back to a sort of a debate that we had on the air between Jim Dolitoso, who I consider to be a very level-headed guy, and an Arizona member of MUFON, who I did not consider to be so level-headed. But I let it go. I let them go at each other. And Jim Dolatozzo, to his credit, did not really go at the guy. But the other guy came at him. And a lot of it was ad hominem attacks. And to the listener. And that's what I do on this program that I don't think is done very frequently elsewhere. I allow all of you to be the judge of the credibility of the people that you're listening to. I don't try to tell you what to think. That's no slam against Rush. I let you be the judge. And inevitably, you're a pretty good judge. In other words, I thought as I listened to the debate that Mr. Dolatozzo was behaving as a gentleman and was coming across as a careful researcher. And I thought the other side did not exhibit those qualities. And sure enough, I had, you know, hundreds of messages that generally agreed with that. So that's the way I choose to do this program. You know, it's just a forum. It's a place where things happen and where they're spontaneous and where I try to help people tell their stories. And if they want to come on here and slam around with that ad hominem attacks against people, then they dig their, you know, there's an old saying about giving somebody enough rope, right? It absolutely applies. And my opinion of my audience is that you all can decide that for yourself. You don't need me screaming and yelling at somebody or shining a bright light in their face or coming at them 60 minutes style to judge. As a matter of fact, the more rope you give somebody, the easier it becomes to judge their credibility. And that's what I think my forum is, and that's what I think radio ought to be all about. And so, again, that brings me back to my career in radio, many long years now. And again, I'm honored simply to be nominated or one of the five finalists for the Marconi. And I have a lot of respect for the name Marconi, as you can imagine. Can you imagine what it must have been like in Marconi's days? What radio must have been like? When the first crude spark transmitters actually managed to get across the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm old enough, of course, to remember some of the first early crude radios, because I built a few of them, thank you very much. And I treasure those days, although new radios are kind of nice.
Now, let's go back to the night of June 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
West of the Rockies, you're on. Whoops, would have been on the air. We just missed you. Sorry about that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, this is Charles from Maine.
Hi, Charles from Maine. How are you?
Good. I was wondering about the reversals.
Yes.
I was wondering how cut and dried is it. Like, if you took a manuscript of, what was his name, Haynes?
Yes.
And you, yourself, were to read it, you know, word for word, would you get the exact same reversals?
No, you would not. And the reason is because the inflection, the amount of pressure somebody's under, the emotional nature of the response, or, to a question...
Yeah.
Is going to be different each time. And so you're not necessarily going to get exactly the same thing. If you managed to say it with the same inflection, the same emotion, then yes, you would.
So it's like subconsciously you're able to somehow arrange words.
There you go.
That's amazing.
Yes, that is what it's all about, and you're doggone right it's amazing.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Thanks for making it. Good to hear from the state of Maine. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes. Good evening, Art.
Hi.
I'm a second-time caller. My name is Amadeus.
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 Ama.
Amadeus.
A-M-A.
Okay, I've got it now. Amadeus.
You got it. I wanted to ask you if you are aware that at one time, Nikola Tesla paid for Marconi to come over to the United States when he was doing a lot of experimentations in wireless transmission.
Yes, I had heard that.
Yeah, and he put Marconi up, and Marconi took a lot of research notes from Nikola Tesla. And basically, it was Nikola Tesla who invented the radio wireless transmissions. But Marconi took his ideas, brought them back to Europe, and patented them.
I know the whole controversy.
Yeah, it's not a controversy, it's documented. But
it is a controversy, though. Right. I mean, there are people who disagree with the stolen idea part of it.
Well, Nikola Tesla cared nothing for money, and he also didn't care who got credit for what. All he cared about was for the creations would be for the betterment of humanity.
The science, yes.
Yeah, and for the betterment of humanity in general, not just science. But
well, I have no way of absolutely knowing. Certainly Marconi made great contributions.
Yes.
There's no question about it. I mean, for example, sir, right now in America, we are the innovators. We are still the innovators in a lot of electronic advances. And you know, the Japanese frequently take that which we invent and they make practical use of it and market it. So there's genius in all kinds of categories.
Yeah. I had never heard of Nikola Tesla until I stumbled in a bookstore out here in Los Angeles. I'm calling from Beverly Hills.
Right.
Los Angeles is a bookstore called the Bodai Tree. And I stumbled upon these books on Nikola Tesla, all of these biographies, and he also has a very small autobiography.
Oh, he's a fascinating guy. The only problem with Tesla is that there has grown a legend around Tesla, and it's getting rather difficult to separate reality from myth. You know, in other words, there's a lot over the years that has built up around Tesla that may not be true.
Well, you have to read his autobiography, which is
I've read it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, sure. I've read a lot of books on Tesla, and he's incredibly impressive. Some of the things, though, attributed to him, I think, are more myth than reality. That doesn't mean that he is not one of the world's greatest men, because he is. Was.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was only taught about Edison in school. I never even heard about Nikola Tesla, and when I started to read the information, I just couldn't believe what I was reading.
Well,
I realized that electromagnetical energy was present everywhere in the universe. That God created a perpetual motion machine.
Today, sir, we call it zero-point energy. Yes, I fully agree with you. All I'm trying to suggest is that the man, as great as he was, probably is greater today than he in fact was. And that's no slam down. That's simply an observation. It's kind of like the old West legends that were built around the gunfighters. You know, there were seeds of truth, or even more than seeds of truth, in the behavior of a lot of them. But the real nitty-gritty truth was probably not quite, generally did not quite live up to the myth. And that's all I'm trying to suggest here. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I would like to know when the interview that CNN did with you will be aired this summer.
As a matter of fact, I got a call from CNN, let me see, day before yesterday, and they said now they think it's going to be the first week in August.
Okay, do you know what channel?
No, I think it's it may be TBS.
Okay.
Okay, so, as it comes close, I will know, and you can bet I'll get it on the air.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, and take care. On my international line, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
I'm doing.
Oh, wow. I forgot what I was going to ask you.
All that trouble to get through, and you forgot, huh?
Hey, did you hear anything about turtles?
I know they're slow.
Yeah, that's true. No, there's some biologist at a local college. He discovered something's wrong with the snapping turtles in a few of the local swamps. They got like a diabetes syndrome.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
They're not sure what if it's viral or some kind of chemical contamination.
I'm not surprised. I'm not. I'm now. That's going to take me.
No, nowhere else has any turtles like that been found with this condition.
But. Yeah, I appreciate the call. We'll look into it. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hi.
Yeah. I was playing with voice reversal myself. You know, I was kind of skeptical of it, and actually, I took a random sample from your radio show last night from Hoagland.
Yes.
And what's the other guy's name? He was talking with someone.
Oh, you would ask. I'm sorry, I've got it in the other room, but...
I guess that's okay. Anyway,
Indiana Jones.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, he said, when I reversed the part, and I got the sample here, but basically he said, they'll reverse it back. And I'll go ahead and put the phone up to the speaker here. And
at the surface level.
I guess, I don't know if that came over okay.
It's a little difficult to do reversals in that way. And when David was first doing them on this program, that's the way he was doing them literally, holding it up to the speaker in the early days. And then he got it wired in directly, and it makes a very big difference in the way you can hear it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I was able to get an extensive conversation, a little block, but... It isn't very clear, and I guess...
No, hold off on it.
Yeah. Anyway, I also wanted to mention about the Seattle quakes.
Yeah, spit of quakes going on up there.
Yeah.
In the 3 and 4 range.
Now, this is kind of weird. Okay, I've been monitoring earthquakes for about maybe a year now with the University of Washington website.
Yes.
And, you know, you usually have quakes under 3.0. Well, there was a 15-day gap. Between quakes, there was absolutely zero activity. And then there was a Vancouver quake. It was a small one, and a 6-day gap, and then it returned to rhythm, and then there was a series of 4.8 quakes.
Right.
And actually, I have a table assembled, showing these statistics. Could I give out a web address? Or?
No, I would prefer that you do not, but you're welcome to email it to me, and I'll check it out and give it out myself.
Okay, and that's about it.
Or, all right, thank you. Or we will get a link up to it. But I learned my lesson with regard to giving out web addresses that I'm not sure of. As you know, the U.S. Supreme Court just very wisely, in my opinion, ruled that adult materials on the web should not be restricted. Not that I am... in favor of adult materials, frankly, it gets pretty boring pretty fast. I mean, you can only see so many naked bodies, and it's no longer enticing. However, our First Amendment is one of our most cherished amendments, the most cherished, freedom of speech. And I think clearly the U.S. Supreme Court was dead right in saying the government ought to keep their sticky little fingers the hell out of the Internet. So I'm very pleased that that turned out as it did. I'm also pleased that the U.S. Supreme Court told the government to keep its sticky fingers from trying to force local authorities to do background checks. In other words, mandate that local governments do background checks on people who want to buy guns. If the federal government wants to do that, then they ought to do it and pay for it themselves. And these unfunded mandates are way out of line. And that is, in essence, what the court just told all of America. And all I can say is thank God for the U.S. Supreme Court. They have not always done things that I have agreed with, but by and large, I have, after a period of time, agreed with them. Even with regard to flag burning, I used to be very much in favor of an amendment to make flag burning illegal. But the more and more that I thought about it, the more and more I changed my mind. And I realize that though I object to it, the First Amendment allows even people like Benson, and with his horrid little cartoon, to do as they will. The First Amendment is very specific. It says freedom of speech. Now, of course, in the case of Benson, I simply exercised my First Amendment objection to it and action that I felt that we should take, but that's my First Amendment right. So, burn flags, ugly, but yes.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 27th, 1997. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 27, 1997.
And this is the final half hour of Coast this week. Sometimes, like a good book, it's hard to see it end. Coming up on Dreamland this Sunday is Sarah Hines, author of Coming from the Light, Spiritual Accounts of Life Before Life. That should be very, very interesting. At any rate, right back for the final half hour.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What's going on around this planet right now are people who are just fed up. They're fed up with dictatorships, and they've had enough. Now, the big question is, can it happen here? And I think absolutely. One day, if we continue to have this spread of the haves and the have-nots, this continuing push for a new world order, it could happen. Mark my word, it could happen here too. Let's hope not.
Now, let's go back to the night of June 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
The following comes from Steve in Portland. Cat survives 40-foot flaming free fall. From the state of Maine, East Corinth, is it? Corinth, Maine? If cats do, in fact, have 9 lives, then Sparky has used much of his quota over the past few days. The silver-gray cat spent 3 days trapped on a utility pole, surviving thunderstorms and a jolt by a 7,500-volt power line on Tuesday, that sent the flaming feline plummeting to the ground. There were sparks everywhere, and then I saw the cat fall, Lucille Randall told the Bangor Daily News. The incident briefly left 1,000 residents without electricity. Emergency crews who arrived to put out the fire saw smoldering grass where the cat had landed and were surprised to find Sparky meowing loudly, but apparently otherwise unhurt aside from a singed tail. Wow. The cat, believed to be less than a year old, apparently was homeless, at least before the incident, but now has been adopted by one of the firefighters who quickly gave it the appropriate name, Sparky. Flaming cat story. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
Yeah, Daniel from Portland.
Yes, sir.
Hi. I can't believe I got on here. I'm kind of nervous, Art. Yeah, I just want to say, you know that guest you had on that concerning the Bible code?
Oh, yes, of course, and we will have him on again soon, by the way.
That is good, because I just went to Barnes & Noble today. I found it, and I can't remember his name, but I read through the whole book in one sitting, and I can only say that, you know, if I didn't believe in God before, I'm starting to think about it, you know, because that is, when you put your brain to it, like the odds that he puts, you know, all the predictions, all this and that, it's unbelievable. And I've also read books on the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of, you know, Giza.
Yes.
And the codes, you know, although some of it could be considered hype, the combination between the Bible and the Great Pyramid, I think, is like almost astounding. Like, I'm just...
Well, I think there are a lot of parallels to the way you become convinced that the whole reverse speech thing has something to it. It's more than just coincidence. It is congruent. As you look through the Bible codes and you take my guest's take on it, which is that there's a very profound meaning that is intended to actually, if you follow it correctly, allow you to experience what is being said. That's a very profound way to look at it's a natural. It all fell into place with my guest explaining it. In the first hour, I was going, huh? And then all of a sudden, it fell into place, and I understood what he was saying. For example, thank you very much. In Genesis, we are told how our world came to be, how man came to be, how light came to be, how everything literally came to be. And it is suggested that the codes in the Bible, and I think that there is no question that there are codes, that's mathematically an established fact, that they are designed to allow you to actually live it, to understand it by living it and seeing it yourself. Very hard for me to explain here, but very profound, and we will indeed have Stan Tenen on again. Do the wild thing. It's 702-727-1295. Okay, we're going to have to eliminate that. The only thing we don't allow you to do is give your last name on the air. So let's try it again. Your name is Randy?
Yes, Randy. I'm calling from Grand Prairie, Alberta, Canada.
Okay, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art. I just want to let you know I've been listening to your show. Actually, it was by accident since about March. I do some driving in my occupation, and late one night I was looking for a station to listen to, and I heard your show and been listening ever since.
Well, that's how I get a lot of listeners, by accident.
Anyways, I just want to say congratulations on your award.
Oh, thank you.
And I just wanted to let you know that this David Oates, that's an amazing thing that he's doing with the reverse speech. I think that stuff's incredible.
It is incredible, and I think it's getting close to undeniable, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I would have to agree. One thing I want to just ask a question about was, I was listening to the show that you had, it was a couple of weeks back, I believe, about the time travelers on the online there. And the one gentleman that had called in, he had made some predictions or whatever that he would call back again in a month's time or something like that. Now, I know that you had made mention the other night about the major transportation accident, which was that, I believe, the train wreck down in Texas. Is that correct?
Yeah, but you know what?
What?
You know the mirror problem?
Yes. Oh, that would make sense, too, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And it is certainly ongoing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. yeah, I never even thought about that until you just, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That's why you do the show. what I wanted to make mention about or ask about was, do you have any idea as to about the one of the other ones that he had mentioned was the celebrity that was supposed to be named or something like that?
There is a story running that ran yesterday about a very famous Russian personality who is now being investigated and or charged with molesting underage children. Mm.
Is that right?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
That's unfortunate.
So the ripples, excuse that phrase, from that program were so tremendous that we are going to do another probably next week timeline show. It's irresistible.
Do you have a day in mind that you want to do that? Because I'm going to be out on the road.
No, I honestly can't say I do yet. I do this program by the seat of my pants. And generally, I sort of pick a night, and I know when something feels right, and that's when I do it. I know that sounds dumb, but that's how I do it.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question just before I take up your time here.
Sure.
I don't know if you've heard about the that movie that they have nowadays that they've let out on video or whatever, Mars Attacks.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, I was kind of watching that, and I don't know if I remembered it correctly or not, but I think I heard you mention about the location that you are down in Nevada.
Yes, I'm in Pahrump, Nevada.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes, Pahrump, Nevada was destroyed.
I thought it was a little too coincidental myself.
Thank you very much. I understand Tim Burton is a fan of the show. Good morning, Tim. Now, it was a little too coincidental from Nevada. I almost fell over when I saw it. You know, people called me and faxed me about that when Mars Attacks came out. And when I finally saw it for myself, I almost fell on the floor. It's true, my little town, Pahrump. Actually, it was a section of bleachers shown out in the middle of the desert that was supposed to be Pahrump. It was actually filmed in Arizona. But they took great pains to make sure that it was called Pahrump, Nevada. And it was not an accident. It was not a coincidence. In the best tradition of Richard Hoagland and company, I guarantee it was not. By the way, again, the photographs that Richard Hoagland promised... And a very nice lady struggled to get, finally did get up on the web. And they're on my website and Richard's website now, the Enterprise Mission website. And you're going to want to take a good look. One very telling photograph shows a security camera inside the pyramid pointed directly at the wall, which is a big no-no. Another photograph shows a portion of the tunnel, the actual tunnel that they were talking about, going from the King's Chamber down toward the Queen's Chamber, and we have yet to hear what the repercussions are from all of that, but it was, when we finally got to it, an amazing revelation. And if you want to see the photographs that back it up, and there are going to be many more, but the initial three that back it up, they're on the website now. It's www.artbell.com. You're going to want to get up there sometime or another this weekend. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hi, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
I'm from St. Louis, Ellsbury. Maybe you've heard of Ellsbury. We've had a few sightings out this way.
Where is that?
Ellsbury, Missouri. It's a little community a little bit north of St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I was watching that hard copy today, and...
Dave, would you turn your radio off for us?
Yes, hold on a second, please.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
All right, it's very important. You'll get very confused, and so will I, trying to listen to it.
Okay, there we go. And I'm glad I got in before he went off for the night. And this lady was on there, and she said she'd been abducted, like, I think hundreds of times, and a beam of light took her out to the spaceship, and she was up there with kids and playing where they can move the ball around with their minds.
Oh, yes.
It's very interesting, and your show, I just want to call and say your show is very interesting, and I work strange hours, so I've never seen one, but they say the truth's out there.
The truth is out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. The truth is out there, and I don't think that yelling and screeching and calling names is a way to get to the truth. I have seen now in my life two things that I utterly cannot explain. I do not leap, as in faith, to the conclusion that what I saw was extraterrestrial. But I absolutely believe that what I saw is either, is a big story, no matter which way you look at it. In other words, our government or some other government has developed craft that are capable of doing things generations, maybe even centuries ahead of what we believe we can do, or we are being visited from elsewhere. But no matter which way you look at it, it's a big story. And invective and name-calling is not going to change that, at least certainly in my mind. Only a careful, continuing investigation of something that... Matter of fact, there was an article in the Arizona Republic that I thought was quite reasonable that ran the other day. And the lady said, you know, I really never believed in any of this sort of thing. And I'm sorry I can't think of her name just at the moment. But a rational look at what has occurred over our city... demands a reasonable person begin to consider the possibility that we are being visited. And I would have to agree with that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Oh, this is Al from San Marcos, California.
Hello, Al.
Did you read in your Wednesday's paper about the V-shaped lights that you had over Area 51?
No, it was actually over Las Vegas, Al.
Well, I'm just saying...
Just to the north of Las Vegas, actually.
Yeah, it was in the northwest section of the city.
Yes, Area 51 is quite a bit farther north.
Yo, they put it that it was over Area 51.
Well, it sounds better that way, I suppose.
Yeah, I just wondered if you've seen that.
Oh, you bet I did.
Okay.
It was considered a major sighting, Al. Thank you.
You bet.
Take care. Yes, again and again, Las Vegas, Phoenix, you name it, millions of Americans have seen things like I have seen. Like the people of Las Vegas have seen, like the people of Phoenix have seen, and the people of Roswell, and so many other cities. And if you wish to ignore evidence, like that in Mexico, where there have been collisions with UFOs, damaging aircraft, near misses, many, and objects so frequently seen that the Mexican public nearly dismisses them as normal. If you can dismiss that with invective and name-calling, then go right ahead. But I think increasingly large numbers of people are not going to be so easily influenced by disinformation. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. About John Oates, that particular one where he says, sell the battle or sell the babble. I think it was battle.
I think it was babble.
Well, battle is more congruent, I think, with... what he was saying, because it's obvious from the Air Force news conference that they were trying to sell extraterrestrials.
I know, but if that man thought in his own mind that what he was issuing was babble, you know, if he understood in his own mind, subconsciously, that he was babbling, then that would be congruent. It could go either way, but I rather thought it was babble.
Well, I think they're trying to sell the idea that extraterrestrials are dangerous, because...
Well, maybe they are. I certainly haven't made up my mind, A, that they even exist here on Earth, and B, if they do, I would say it's a good 50-50 proposition. I mean, they may not have our best interests in mind, you know?
Or they might, which the Air Force doesn't like. Well, thank you. Bye.
Yes, sir.
Jim at Dagersfield.
Take care. They may not have our best interests in mind, or they may. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, concerning the backwards speech.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is said to be what the subconscious is thinking.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and in children, the same thing. And
in children, even more dramatic, actually. We didn't get a chance to do it tonight, but from about 3 months on, there is reverse speech in children before they can even begin speaking in forward speech. That is so dramatic and so chilling. And I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get to any of that tonight. But
okay, well, why is it in English then?
Well, because English is our language, sir, in America. Now, if you go to France, you get reversals in French.
What about an English toddler?
What about an English?
An American, about a three-month-old American child.
Yes, what about it?
In France would still speak English.
If that child has been exposed to English by the parents, by those around it, then you would get English. If that American child was exposed to nothing but French, the reversals would be in French. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Art Bell.
Yes, sir.
This is Freeway, Central San Joaquin Valley.
Welcome to the program, which is rapidly
ending. From KFRE, the blowtorch.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's a big one. 940, KFRE, Fresno. Yes, sir.
Apparently, I got you at the tail end. If you got my mail, I sent you a tape. Take a look for it. I can't seem to get the quickening because however hard I tried, they never sent it.
And oh, they'll send it. You'll get it.
Meanies. Well, I asked for it a couple of weeks after the first printing was released.
Listen, my program is over. You get the honors. Do it.
America, the world, let's put Art Bell on the map big time. Art, open my piece of mail.
Good night, all.